In the earlier session, as we were journeying to some extent, though briefly, through some of the turning points in early Islamic history, we were at one of the, if not the, most remarkable and most important turning points in the history of Islam and thus of humanity, namely the Fath of Mecca. And we had said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca with 10,000 companions peacefully and did not war against those Meccans and the Qurayshites and their allies who for many, many extended years had caused havoc and had spread injustice and oppression throughout the lands. And he enters sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he's entering on his camel. I think it was still Al-Qaswa. This entry of this parade of glory, of show of enormous strength, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes sure that that is not what appears and what is really. So we are told in authentic hadith that when he entered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered his head down, not like the commanders usually enter. When they enter heads high and with arrogance and pride to show their spirit of conquest, he entered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so low his head was down as he was entering Mecca sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they entered Mecca from at least three avenues into Mecca. He was talking about thousands of companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum. It is said until his beard sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched the middle of the of that which they used to, not the saddle, because I don't know what you call it for a camel, so let's call it a saddle, so that his beard sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched, you know, the bottom of the of that saddle thing. He was lowering his head out of humility and out of modesty and out of humbleness to this great moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him and granted the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum. And when one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were human beings also, when he, and it was not just a Sahabi, a very famous one radiallahu ta'ala anhu of the Ansar, I think it was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who when he was entering with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the one, by the way, who was holding the raya, the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who does that actually has the great honor or the greatest honor amongst those who are in the party or in the army. And he said, and he was overheard saying, "Al-yawma," what did he say? "Al-yawma yawmun yustahallu fihi al-haram. Al-yawma yawmun adhalla Allahu fihi Quraysh." He said, "Al-yawma yawmu malh, al-yawma yawmu al-malhama, al-yawma yustahallu al-haram, al-yawma adhalla Allahu fihi Quraysh," which means today is the day of bloody battle, al-malhama. Today is the day where the haram, the sanctity of the haram, is going to be violated. Today, said he, Quraysh will be humiliated. Quraysh did a lot, of course. you have to be within that environment. You have to have lived the years of persecution. You have to have been there to really understand what was going on. If you don't, then you don't really understand the greatness of those Sahaba, and you don't understand the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you expect that this should not happen, then we really didn't understand the extent of greatness that those companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum had, or we do not realize the extent of severity that those years and those decades were to humanity and to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yet when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told about that, someone told, "Did you hear what Sa'd was saying?" He says, "What was he saying?" And he said, "This is what he was chanting." And Uthman and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhum told, "Ya Rasulullah, we're afraid that perhaps Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, if he enters with this spirit, that he wouldn't do something to Quraysh. Nakhsha an takuna lahu fihim sawlah." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately called on him and took the banner from him. And he said, "Today, al-yawma yu'azzamu fihi, al-yawma yawmun tu'azzamu fihi al-Ka'ba. Al-yawma yawmun a'azzallahu fihi Quraysha." Subhanallah. On the contrary, he said, "Today is a day during which Allah Azza wa Jal will glorify and sanctify the Kaaba. Today is a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah Azza wa Jal exalted Quraysh." And then he took the banner from him and he gave it to someone else. It is said either his son Qais or the other venerable companion Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhum jami'an. Many people, kuffar and so on, came and gathered at the Haram al-Makki, because they were guaranteed asylum, they were guaranteed peace, even though they did what they did, except actually for three or four of them who were the heads of all crimes and did not come and repent and ask for forgiveness from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came and started to give pledge of allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and declare their Islam one by one by one. Before that or after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before they even acknowledged their Islam or declared their Shahada, at least under those circumstances, he spoke to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine this momentous moment, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses these Qurayshis, these mushrikun. Many of them were terrible, terrible hostiles against the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, look of the words, these are not the words of a conqueror either. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, إن الله قد أذهب عنكم نخوة الجاهلية وتعظمها بالآباء." Allah Azza wa Jal has freed you now from the bursts of jahiliyyah and the glorification of the forefathers. الناس من آدم وآدم من تراب. He tells them, all humankinds are from Adam, and Adam is from dust. Quraysh sense of pride and of nobility and of arrogance led it to be so arrogant that of course other peoples and other human beings and other tribes even are less than they were, and therefore they were very, very stubborn against receiving and accepting the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of that is that inherent arrogance and air of pride, of over pride that they had, about their origins, about their race, about their history. So, subhanAllah, this is what he begins with to tell them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, in Allah qad adhaba ankum nakhwat al-jahiliyyah. And he says, Allah, look at his words. He didn't say, you who are you, I now have overcome you, I now have shown you who is the one with authority, who is right. That's not what he says. He says, Inna Allah has taken away from you, has freed you from this nakhwa of jahiliyyah, from these bursts of jahiliyyah feelings. وَتَعَظُّمَهَا بِالْآبَاءِ أَنَّاسُ مِنْ آدَمُ وَآدَمُ مِنْ تُرَابِ. Mankind, all are from Adam, and Adam is from dust. And then he read the ayah, the beautiful ayah, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. This beautiful ayah that I call, amongst many, I think, beautiful titles that we can give to it, I call it the ayah of communication, the verse of communication, besides many other things. O mankind, we have created you of male and female, made you nations and tribes in order that you know one another. The most honorable of you in the sight of God are those who are most God conscious, for verily God is all knowing, all encompassing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this a speech of a general who conquered lands for conquering and for other reasons? Subhanallah, abada. This is what how he addressed them after having entered in glory, in humility, of course, glory, fact, but in his person, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, humble and modest and internalizing the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he bestowed upon him. And this is how Muslims should react when Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them greatness. Whether we as individuals, in our own ways, Allah gives us gifts of whatever things, wealth, honor, knowledge, whatever. We should always take that as gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla and be humble. The more we are given, the more we should be humbled. The more we should react in humility in front of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, and that air of modesty and of humility never left him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He showed even more so as he entered this most holy and sanctified of space. And then he says, and then he addresses them, these subhanallah, ya ma'ashara Quraysh, ma tarawna anni fa'ilun bikum. O people of Quraysh, now, what do you think I am going to do to you? And these are the Safwans, Safwan ibn Umayyah, and these are, of course, Abu Sufyan had then entered Islam, and these are people, these are Ikrim ibn Abi Jahl, who was still at that time like his father. And Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, that treacherous criminal woman at that time. By the way, when her husband had embraced Islam and came back from that meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told them, O Quraysh, let Muhammad enter, there is nothing you can do about it. She was so angry and so mad. She jumped at his beard and started to pull him from his beard and said so terrible words about him, about her husband, publicly in front of everybody. I said, kill this man. She described him in so many bad words that I cannot repeat, because he became a Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa ghafarallahu lahu wa lilmu'mineena jami'an. And he calmed her down. And she stayed in her state of shirk still, for a while. And so he was addressing them and says to them, مَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ. What do you think I'm going to do to you? And subhanAllah, they knew him from always. From before he was a Nabi, when he was a Nabi, in Mecca, in Medina, afterwards, they knew him, what he was. Therefore, they never had anything about his character. Yet it was al-juhd that had led them continuously to be in rejection of Rasulullah ﷺ. Because then they respond, خَيْرًا لِأَنَّكَ خَيْرًا أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ وَابْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ. We know it will be khair, for you are an honorable brother, the son of an honorable man. Kareem means also generous, means honorable. We know you are an honorable, generous brother, the son of an honorable, generous man and brother. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't wait for much, and he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِإِخْوَتِهِ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Then I tell you as Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the early Bani Israel, I tell you as Yusuf told his brothers. And you know the story of Yusuf and his brothers, right? Some of you know that, and what his brothers did to him, alayhi salam, who also attempted to kill him and so on and so forth. But far less, of course, than what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his people for 23 years. And he said, but humbly he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will tell you what Yusuf told his brothers towards the end of that story. Remember, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There shall be no sorrow, no pain, no hardship on you today. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. And then he says to them, go now, you are free. Go now, you are free. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. Is this a conqueror? Is this a man who, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, was this a man who was violent? It is only a violent of heart and of spirit and of everything that describes him like that, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Before they declared their shahada, no, he told them, you're free now. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go, you are free. And then he commanded, as we said earlier, Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه, to stand on the Kaaba and call the word of Tawheed. And صلى الله عليه وسلم, he performed that day, he went to the house of one of his relatives, Hani, رضي الله تعالى عنها, Hani bint Abi Talib, she was the sister of Ali, رضي الله تعالى عنها, and he was in her house and he washed, he took a ghusl for that moment where he needs to be very, very grateful, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he took his ghusl and performed there in her house 8 rak'at, and it was duha time. That's why many people say that the number of rak'at of duha maximum are 8. But many scholars said that it was not salatul duha for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that moment, but it was salatul shukr. It was salah of gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he bestowed upon him and upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then there were two previously again very terrible hostiles and terrible people in their time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of the animosity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who were given asylum by Hani. Because I think we have learned together, I don't know whether we said this, I believe perhaps I did, during the Seerah session, the concept of jiwar, the concept of jiwar, and that's very subhanAllah interesting concept of asylum and of jiwar, that and every mu'min male or female, has that right. That if a man or a woman in Islam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're talking about such even under the circumstances of great hostilities between mushrikun and Muslims, so if a Muslim gives jiwar, asylum to anyone, then no one has the right to hurt that other person. That would be applied in an Islamic environment and state, which in this case is only a dream. So Umm Hani says, Ya Rasulullah, she gave jiwar to two people whom she knew of those hostile former criminals and killers and hostiles, really. She told Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, she told him, I gave jiwar to those two people, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi answered, Ya Umm Hani, قَدْ أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ. SubhanAllah, he didn't say, who are you? I mean, woman give jiwar, as people think? No, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَدْ أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ. يَا أُمَّهَانِ, I gave asylum to the one whom you gave asylum. Your asylum is my asylum. And therefore their lives were spared in view of this jiwar that Ummuhani rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu ta'ala anha gave to those mushrikun at that time. And then after that, many people began to come and embrace Islam freely after that, including some sanadid of Quraysh still then at that time, Safwan ibn Umayyah and Fudal ibn Umayr and many others. And Ikrim ibn Abi Jahl fled because he thought what he did, you know, will never be forgiven for that. And he fled to Yemen. His wife became a Muslim before him. So she decided to go and travel all the way south to Yemen and find him and tells him, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you come to him, if you express your forgiveness, if you ask for forgiveness, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives you. He gives you asylum. Come and talk to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order, look what he wanted. This is the son of Abu Jahl, and he was like him during those times. I think it is in this instance that he gave her his burda, one of his robes and one of his capes, if you will, thobes, to take with her as a guarantee that just come back, nothing will happen to you. And indeed, when she went to him and he demanded an evidence, and she had that with her, as if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew, subhanAllah, that was what's going to happen. So she gave it, you know, to him. And he brought it, and he came to Mecca and called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Muhammad, I am told that you gave me asylum. And here's this the evidence. You know, he's still afraid. He's still afraid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the subhanAllah, as the super gentle human that he was, he says, of course. And Ikrima after that truly embraced Islam. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal changed his heart to an extent that is incredible. Incredible. The son of Abu Jahl became light and illumination. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. The intensity with which he fought and he hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became an intensity of love and of desire to go from this life to wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, because it was after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he died, and I think it was in Al-Yarmouk or Al-Qadisiyah, when he stood in front of these tens of thousands of Muslim mujahideen fi sabilillah, as they faced these 200,000 at that time Roman soldiers, and he tells them this same Ikrima, subhanAllah, and he remembers how much wrong he had done, and his all his energies were towards Allah and his messenger, and the law for them. And he tells everybody, those who were of course there to hear him, including Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. He says, I have decided to go into the ranks of this kuffar and I will never come back. Who has a message to deliver to Rasulullah? Who has a message to deliver to Rasulullah, for I am going? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the same Ikrimah. This is the same Ikrimah. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda'ah. And yes, those who were around were a different breed of humanity. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas tell him, and others tell him, yes, we have a message to deliver to Rasulullah. Please tell him, la ilaha illallah. قُلْ لَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا. Of the promises and the prophecies that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Remember, many of those, including in Al-Khandaq, when he struck at that boulder and broke it into halves, two halves, and then he light came out of that, and he saw, and he told them that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me the mafatih, the keys of Byzantium and of Persia. And they were from victory to victory to victory to victory in opening those lands and alhamdulillah bringing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for people to choose peacefully and to have that freedom to choose the deen rather than being compelled by those in authority not to have even the freedom to know about it and to choose about it. And he tells him, tell Rasulullah that we have found what Allah promised us to be true. And indeed, he went in and went. I don't want to say he never returned. He just went. And Allah Azza wa Jal took him. He was killed in that battle. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardaah. Anyways, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now receives people, many people, excuse me, come into the deen, and he spoke again another time to them in the haram. And he emphasized the sanctity of that space again. He emphasized the sanctity of that space again, of Mecca, of all Mecca, of the Haram of Mecca. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ مَكَّةَ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal has made, sanctified as Haram Mecca when He created the universe and earth. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that Mecca, there was no city. So here's the notion that we have to always understand, is the space itself, the creator of space and of time, made certain spaces holy and sanctified, and certain times holy and sanctified. So Mecca as a space, the Kaaba as a space, are sanctified places. All of Mecca. In other words, as he taught Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is haram to kill any animal in Mecca. Roaming animals, wild animals, game, no one has the right to touch any such animal. No one has the right to cut trees, natural trees and wild trees, and no one has the right to kill any person in that haram. This is a sanctified place. And so it is with Medina, as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that gives us, subhanAllah, it's a lesson. Mecca and Medina are supposed to be the most, what? The most exemplary places for Islam and Muslims. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this place as sanctified in this sense, in other words, as if it is telling us, what? This is the ideal. If every place can be like Mecca and Medina, that's what this deen wants. Subhanallah. That's what this deen wants. That's what this Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants. Those two places have to be that way so that humanity, and Muslims in particular, as they look at them, they know that that is where they draw their spiritual strength from. And that they would like to be like they are in Mecca and in Medina all the time, anywhere else. But at least those two spaces are inviolable, and anyone who commits a crime in there, wal-iyadu billah, has committed an awful crime, multiplied many more folds in terms of its atrocity and its ugliness, and its wal-iyadu billah, its dhanb in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you go to Mecca or when you go to Medina, remember that. Many people don't remember that. Many people, if they remember something, they remember something as long as they are inside the masjid. Once they are outside the masjid, they have no notion, as if they are in New York City. Sometimes some Muslims. Or if they are in New Delhi. Or in Islamabad. Or in Ottawa. Subhanallah. Remember that wherever you are in Mecca, every inch of Mecca, every space of Mecca is sanctified, is muharram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're walking on, not only on grounds, in space that is very, very, very special. Since the day and before the day, or when Allah azza wa jal created the universe and earth, that space was assigned to be so. So he reminds them and he reminds us for humanity to always keep in mind. In other words, you and I, that is the way ideally I want to be outside of Mecca and outside of Medina. For them, when I go to Mecca, when I go to Medina, that's what I should be. And outside of Mecca and outside of Medina, I remember what I should be. And one, forgive me now, I'm doing history, but I'm doing also detailed history, which inshallah, when Allah Azza wa Jal wills, you will have other turning points and inflection points in Islamic history that will also, inshallah, inspire you and all of us, bi-idhnillah. But I really like to delve more on this, bi-idhnillah, for the time that we have left. Something beautiful happened. When he entered Mecca, and these are few days, after that, and maybe even during the first day, the Ansar felt grieved and were talking to each other. The Ansar, those who were in Medina, and those who gave refuge to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much and gave everything, they were talking to each other, and they were very concerned and grieved that now Rasulullah came to his people, and his people now cannot harm him anymore. And Mecca now is open, and we think he's going to stay. We think he's going to stay. And they just couldn't bear that. And they were saying that, in accordance to the reports, when he was on the Safa, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. And then, when he finished his dua, he says, "What did you say?" I don't know what the details of the story are, but again, was this another of his nubuwat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's manifestations? They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we didn't say much. We didn't say much." He says, "No, you said something. What did you say? Because usually he wants to hear it from the person or the persons themselves, even if he knew it. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they told him. And then he just like, say it, because he knew what he was going to say, and he wanted to reciprocate that love that they had expressed to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they said, he said, ma'ad Allah. He said, al-mahya mahyakum wal-mamatu mamatukum. He said, ma'ad Allah. It's like, even I seek refuge in Allah that I do this to you. He said, living, he said, al-mahya mahyakum. The living is life with you, and dying is death with you. Said he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, I will go back with you, I will be with you until I die in Medina. And then more people again began to come and give him the pledge of allegiance of Islam. Man and women, many, many more. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And then women after that also started to come to give him the pledge of allegiance. Many of them, and of course, a short stop here at a special woman who was a terrible woman before that, namely Hind bint Utbah, the wife of Abu Sufyan. And she, the narratives tell us that when she was coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was sitting and receiving people, and Umar ibn Khattab was standing next to him at a lower place of rocks, she came and covered her face so that she was afraid that she would be recognized and that she would be hurt because of what she did, including what she did in particular to Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. But as she spoke few words, she unveiled her identity. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving their bayan. He said, أُبَايِعْكُنَّ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْنَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Number one, I give you the pledge, I accept your pledge that you first do not associate any partners and anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So women said, gave it their bay'ah. We give you allegiance. We give Allah and to you this allegiance. And then he says, فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا تَسْرِقْنَ, and that you do not steal. And then they gave their allegiance, and Hind said at that moment, Hind spoke, and then when she unveiled her personality or her identity, she was veiling herself so that she's not recognized. She said, Abu Sufyan is a miser person. If I take something from his wealth that I need and that I have to and so on, is that okay? And then Abu Sufyan was there. Then after this, of course, radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan said, وَمَا أَصَبْتِ فَهُوَ لَكِ حَلَالٍ, with that which you have already taken is halal to you from now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed, smiling, for he never laughed aloud. His laughter was always smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he smiled, a wild, big smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, look at that moment, he said, وَإِنَّكِ هِنْد, are you Hind? It's just like in this air, it's not like, you know, are you that Hind? وَإِنَّكِ هِنْد, are you Hind? And then she said, نعم, يا رسول الله, فَعْفُ عَمَّا سَلَف, please forgive that which passed. O Nabi Allah, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ, may Allah have afia on you in this case, not forgiveness, in this case, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, forgive that which passed. Do you think he had anything else to do except to forgive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he forgave her. And he forgave her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right there. And then he said, وَلَا يَزْنِينَ. He continues now the pledge of allegiance that he was having with women also, and that they do not commit zina, that you do not commit zina. And look at this response of Hind now, radiallahu anha. She said, أَوَ تَزْنِي الْحُرَّةِ. Subhanallah. Look in that character. She said, as a woman, she says, أَوَ تَزْنِي الْحُرَّةِ. Does a noble woman, a free woman, free in the sense not of the concept of human slavery and so on, we have in this, in the Arabic culture, this هذه مرة حرة أو هذا رجل حر. In other words, a man who is free inside. She said, does a woman who is حرة ever commit such a thing? Subhanallah. الحرة لا تفعل هذا. In other words, she's telling him, I am a woman that is حرة. How could I ever imagine to enter into such an act? والعياذ بالله. أو تزني الحرة. That's her answer. That's her reply. That's what she was. That's her allegiance in terms of this part of the pledge of allegiance to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he says, ولا يقتلن أولادهن. And that also, that you do not kill your children, as was the practice of some of the tribes of Arabia in those days. And that you do not kill your children out of fear from poverty or out of fear from dishonor. فقالت. And then she said, رَبَّيْنَاهُمْ صِغَارًا وَقَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ كِبَارًا أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Her son, remember, was killed in Badr along with her father and her brother. Remember, in Ghazwat Badr, her son's name was Hanzala. So she said, "We reared them as young, and you, in other words, you big man, you killed them when they were older. You know better." فَأَنْتُمْ وَهُمْ أَعْلَمْ. You and they know better. You and they know better. In other words, we mothers, we rear them young, we care for them, we keep them, and you, when you, man, you become bigger and older, that's what you do to each other. Of course, that's not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what people do. That's what regular human beings, regular that is, in their own experiences, that's what they do. And that's something, of course, that is correct, that is right. If people, when they become adults and they become mature, they appreciate the way of their Creator, they appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one, when they grow, will kill another one. Except those in whose hearts there is still that rejection of that divine balance in their hearts, those will be led to commit harm against each other. Actually, when she said that, Umar radiallahu ta'ala was next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he laughed so much. What did he remember when this Hind, you know, apparently maybe she was so outspoken in every, and he said he laughed so much, he was laughing that he couldn't hold himself, and he even reclined and fell. حتى يعني استلقى على ظهره ضحكا. You know, when you start laughing and then you lay down laughing, that's what happened to Umar when that happened. While Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled, فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And then he said, وَلَا يَأْتِينَ بِبُهْتَانٍ. And that they do not act in buhtan, buhtan that is false testimony. فَقَالَتْ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ الْبُهْتَانَ لَأَمْرٌ قَبِيحٌ. Then he said, indeed, by Allah, really buhtan is something terrible, something ugly. وَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا إِلَّا بِالرُّشْدِ وَمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And you are only commanding us that which is guidance and good and beautiful in akhlaq. And then he says, وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. And that they do not disobey you, Ya Rasulullah, in that which is ma'roof. which we had talked about during our session yesterday about al-amr bil ma'roof wa an-nahy 'anil munkar. And all of these terms that Rasulullah SAW was repeating, many of you should know that are terms that were by revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in previously in Surah Al-Mumtahana. This is called Bay'atun Nisa. So Rasulullah SAW was simply repeating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already ordained as the elements that are required for women when they come to give their pledge of Islamic allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was simply repeating them one after one. It was term by term by term, and taking the oath of allegiance for each of those terms from those women, radiyallahu ta'ala anhun. وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفِ. Even when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, it's not only وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ and stop. وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفِ. Look at this. Subhanallah, this incredible thing. And that they do not disobey you in that which is ma'roof. It's qualifying obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sorry. And that the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only as long as it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, do we know that any other than that would ever happen with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or ever happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. But look at this emphasis. Subhanallah. Again, emphasizing this is not, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the figure in terms of the essence of this deen, but what is the focus of all of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. And Hind replied, وَاللَّهِ مَا جَلَسْنَا مَجْلِسَنَا هَذَا وَفِي أَنفُسِنَا أَن نَعْصِيَكَ. She said, by Allah, we did not come here under this circumstance while there was any intent on our part to disobey you. And she gave her bay'ah, رضي الله عنها. And then when she went back in her home, she began to break every idol she had, any idol and all idols that she had home, and used to say, كُنَّا مِنْكَ فِي غُرُور. كُنَّا مِنْكَ فِي غُرُور. We were deceived by you. She was breaking those idols every time she breaks one. She said, we were deceived by you. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي فَتَحَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ أَوْ فَتَحَ عِبَادَ قُلُوبِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. I want to jump now, after this, he remained a total of about 19 days in Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And during those 19 days in Mecca, he was doing qasr. He was not doing jama'ah. And there was no jumu'ah. And that's a fact. For many of us to, alhamdulillah, to keep in mind that our ulama, rahmahullah ta'ala, have of course known and acknowledged many of them later, because certain texts were not available to every scholar at all times. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Al-muhim. And after that, when he directed himself to Hunayn, because those the tribes again of Hawazin and the many others decided not to give pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and decided to, they were very stubborn tribes, those tribes around the south from Mecca and others, Ta'if, Thaqif, and Hawazin and so on, they were very, very stubborn. And they decided to continue their hostilities, and they immediately began to gather thousands and thousands. I think the number that they gathered of them was of their peoples was incredibly high. I think over 10,000, including everybody. Everyone was brought to bear to be part of this new hostility that they wanted to unleash against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before anything goes further. And that's what led to Ghazwat Hunayn, that Allah Azza wa Jal talks about in the Quran as well. To make it very short, because I do not intend to delve on that too long, finally Allah Azza wa Jal gave victory again to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam against overwhelming odds again. And the people of Ghazwat Hunayn had in the beginning, again, like almost in Uhud, in the beginning had surprised the Sahaba, because they had an ambush that they had prepared, and thousands of their archers were in their positions and so on, as they were themselves had come out of their lands and were going towards Mecca, and Rasulullah came out and his companions to them so that they don't invade Mecca. And then they met in a place called Hunayn, and that was a surprise, and the defeat, the apparent defeat, was taking place in the beginning. And many, many were so surprised and so absolutely nowhere to run and nothing to do, that they were, many, many of them were completely completely taken by surprise and had begun to flee. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood fast again and stood there around. First he was alone. And under those circumstances, on his mule, on his baghla, on which he was riding on that occasion, when that occurred, when everybody was running away, and very rare are those who were with him, one or two at that time, because it was by surprise, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he then was yelling and shouting, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. And he was standing fast and fighting his way, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am the Messenger of Allah, there is no lie about that, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. And he continued to do that, and when the Sahaba, those who were running, heard his voice again, back attracted to that sound, like what happened in Uhud, and started to come back and come back and come back. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after strengthening his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stood fast with very few, gradually many more came back, and alhamdulillah, everything turned completely different, and Hawazin was finished, and they ran away. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this victory that he gave to his Rasul, and he mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peace that Allah Azza wa Jalla introduced in his heart and the heart of some believers, that made the entire difference. After that, there were many spoils, huge spoils, after that encounter, because Hunayn, somehow their leaders decided to come out into that battle with everything they possessed, including their women, their children, everybody, thinking, as they said, if we bring all of these, then people, our people who would be fighting with everything they have, because they would be afraid for their own women and their own children and their own properties. That's their mentality with which they came, so they brought everything. And all of that became a spoil of war after that. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not distribute those spoils. Look at his rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to a place, they took all of these spoils to a place called Al-Ji'rana, again in the outskirts of Mecca, and he amassed all of those spoils there, and he waited. What was going on in his heart and in his mind, as expressed later sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he still wanted them to change their minds all after that and to come to Islam, and then they get everything back. So he kept it. He did not distribute the spoils, as is usually the habit, immediately. And then he went to the other now stubborn and powerful tribe of Thaqif that was again, an ally of these Hawazin and the others. And again, besieged them, and it took a few days, and the siege did not bring the right desired result at that time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to lessen the burden again of the Sahaba, and he said one day, let's leave. And many companions, including Umar and the others, said, Ya Rasulullah, we have come all this way, we have been besieging them all this way, and we're going to leave these people, and all what they have done, we have to continue until, we have to continue fighting until Allah gives us victory. He said, let's go. So they insisted, he said, Khair, go ahead. So they started again, and it was so tough. So tough, and Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observing that, and they had new attempts, and they couldn't, and a few days later he said to them, let's go. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we go. And then he was laughing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, at this, and how gently he does everything, how gently he does everything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in this situation of battles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u ala Thaqif. Ask Allah to destroy Thaqif. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma hdi Thaqifan wa'ati bihim. Ya Allah, guide Thaqif and bring them. In other words, bring them peacefully. Bring them in Islam. And he left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a matter of fact, a few days later when he left, subhanallah, that's exactly what happened. Many chiefs and leaders of Thaqif came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave the Pledge of Allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many people from Hunayn, the leaders and so on, came and gave the Pledge of Allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many beautiful things took place during that encounter. This is one thing I'm going to share with you, and we're going to end here, inshallah ta'ala.